The U.S. Report.
The U.S. Report with Adrian Bruni. This is as we do every day or most days of the week. We continue to look at what is happening in the United States. Adrian Bruni joins us all the way from Manhattan in New York. A very good morning to you, Adrian. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Ads. I'm doing well. How are you?
Absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much, Adrian. And, you know, I don't know what to say. It's like America survives this, or as soon as this one's over, something else comes into the play. Now it's the fires in California.
Yeah, let me tell you, Mother Nature has been sending some powerful messages to North America about climate change. Strong winds in Northern California have been fueling the flames of 14 fires raging in the counties north of San Francisco, prompting mass evacuations. They quickly consumed swaths of the state's verdant wine country, leaving at least 10 dead and 1,500 homes and businesses destroyed. Wildfires aren't uncommon during California's dry season, but the number, speed, and strength of these explosive fires have made this one of the most destructive seasons in California history. So Governor Jerry Brown has declared emergencies in seven counties as firefighters continue to risk life and limb to extinguish those blazes.
And is there any talk of outside support from the U.S.? I mean, calling in extra firefighters from other countries to assist, or is this just one of those things where the U.S. still can contain it?
Not that I know of. I haven't heard any word that they're calling in firefighters from outside the U.S., probably from other states. I know that they, you know, California has a pretty good emergency rescue kind of firefighting operation. All of that, the western part of the country does. So I know that the president has pledged extra resources, money, manpower, so they might be calling in from, they might be going further west to call in firefighters, further east, but not from other countries so far.
All right, and talking about the president, what's the latest coming from the presidential news?
Right, so despite promises to drain the swamp, Republicans in Washington have seen a number of personal fiscal scandals, from insider trading to campaign-funded transport, start to drown the lowlands of the Potomac. So after Secretary of Health and Human Services Tom Price resigned 2 weeks ago for spending nearly $1 million in taxpayer money for private planes, there have been at least four other cabinet secretaries come under fire for their use of charter or military flights. This is Treasury Department head Steve Mnuchin's use of a private jet in August, as well as his request for a military plane to take him and his wife on their European honeymoon. Also, Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Scott Pruitt has chartered private flights that have cost taxpayers more than $58,000. Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke has been taking charter planes owned by oil and gas executives. And then Veteran Affairs Secretary David Shulkin has combined personal travel in Europe with an official trip, all paid for with taxpayer money. So Democrats are pressing this point, hoping that the 2018 election will see frustrated voters push back on the Republicans. However, And you know, it could work, it could not. Trump's approval rating is down to 47% from the 55% of suburban voters who approved of his performance when he first took office in January. Oh, and here is what Trump's spokesperson, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, has said lately of critics and his Washington critics, especially related to his foreign policy.
Secretary of State. They had a great visit earlier today, and they're working hand-in-hand to move the president's agenda forward. Matthew.
Thanks, Sarah. Over the weekend, Senator Bob Corker called the White House an adult daycare center, said the president could lead the country into World War III, and said that, quote, he concerns me, he would have to concern anyone who cares about our nation. What can you tell us a little about the internal reaction to such a senior Republican making comments like that? And is there concern that other top Republicans could make similar comments?
Look, Senator Corker is certainly entitled to his own opinion, but he's not entitled to his own facts. The fact is, this president has been an incredibly strong leader on foreign policy and national security, and he's been a leader on this front. And I think that's been seen and demonstrated time and time again since he took office. And a few examples, over 20 nations to significantly reduce economic and diplomatic ties with North Korea, further isolating them. He's gotten China and Russia to sign on to the toughest UN sanctions against North Korea ever. His new strategy is destroying ISIS. We have tremendous battlefield gains throughout Iraq and Syria. With Europe, he's gotten more NATO allies to pay their fair share, and he's strengthening that alliance. We're also exporting energy like coal and natural gas to Eastern Europe. His vision of principled realism is creating calm around the world and defeating our enemies. Again, Senator Corker may have an opinion, but the facts certainly don't lie. The president's been very successful on this front. John?
Oh, well.
So, I don't, you know, he's doing all these wonderful things, even though, you know, I'm not sure you could probably tell us how the world is reacting to them.
All right. And then, though, you also talk about the fact that Dove has apologized for their advert.
Yes. So Dove, the soap maker, has apologized after a short video advertising its body wash, which showed a black woman taking off her shirt to reveal a white woman underneath, was lambasted for racist overtones. The company tweeted Saturday that it, quote, miss the mark, unquote, with a Facebook GIF, which was quickly deleted. And then Dove issued a heartfelt apology Sunday after many complained about the lame response. Dove has found itself in hot water before over racially insensitive advertising, but the company has reiterated its commitment to the diversity of real beauty, or what it's called, the diversity of real beauty.
And then just finishing off, you talk about the United Countries of the Caribbean. What's the latest coming out of there?
Yeah, as hurricanes have ravaged the Caribbean with increasing force, small island nations are finding themselves in the crosshairs, obviously more often, while colonies of larger countries have traditionally fared better. Independent states often lack the resources to beef up defenses or to rebuild once the damage is done. I can see, you know, even though Puerto Rico is part of the United States, they've faced those same sorts of issues. So small countries are realizing their collective future may well depend on whether or not the industrialized world can cut down its carbon emissions to fight global warming, and they could be banding together to address that issue at next month's UN Climate Change Conference.
All right, Adrian, thank you so much for the latest updates from the United States. We chat again on Friday.
Sure thing, Abs. Looking forward to it.
Thank you so much. We'll see you then. Adrian Bruni, all the way from Manhattan, New York.